Daddy owned the farm. From the hog lot to the barn, from the barn to the rail, made his living by carrying the mail. Down the road, down the road, got a little pretty girl down the road. Walk the soles right on my shoe. I don't know why I love her so. The gal of mine lives down the road. Down the road, down the road. Well, I got a little pretty girl down the road.
WNRN Charlottesville.
89.9 WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg.
Listener supported independent music radio. WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Apparently, today's program is full of ridiculous people because we are, there's clapping in the background, or maybe there's something going on outside. Good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for listening to WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, a program today of which I know nothing about and will be unable to participate with except asking silly questions. We're going to be talking about a woman's perspective on a variety of topics. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our guest today, Elizabeth Irvin, she's from the Charlottesville Women's Initiative, where she's the program director. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Over tucked against the wall in the corner, Amy Chestnut from the UVA Women's Center. She's the outreach coordinator and works specifically, I guess, with the prevention of eating disorders.
Yes, yes.
All right, get a lot closer than that.
Okay, thanks for having me.
And thank you for being here, especially on such a beautiful, warm, and dry Sunday. What happened to the 70 degrees of beautiful, sunny weather that was
forecasted? I know. Yesterday turned out pretty nice. Maybe we'll have a good afternoon.
That's what hope is all about.
That's right. That's what we're here for. Provide a little morning hope.
And that's the woman's perspective.
That's
right?
It. And we're done.
Women are there to provide hope for all the negative men in our lives. To teach that to children.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, you have an infant?
I have two children. I have a 4.5-year-old, actually an almost 5-year-old, and a 4-month-old.
Amy?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you know, I can't say that we can change everyone's life during the hour, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little information and some resources if they want to learn more.
There you go. All right. So we are going to be talking about a woman's perspective with Elizabeth Irvin and Amy Chestnut. Don't forget that at noon today, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue. That's the best of 80s and 90s alternative music. Drew brings you the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip to the times gone by with Les Temps Perdue, only on WNRN at noon. All right, ladies, what makes something a woman's issue? Is that possible? Hang on just a second. Elizabeth, I need you to answer that question for me because apparently the microphone over here is not at its best.
Okay. Can you hear me? How am I doing?
Goodness gracious. Why did everything all of a sudden go crazy? All right, fire away.
What makes a woman's issue is the question. I think it's a tricky thing to answer because I think that there isn't really anything out there that is solely for women or for men anymore in this day and age. I do think that there are things that women might focus on stereotypically more than women or more than men do, but I actually think that there's a focus of all kinds of things. And our two agencies, I think we really try to work with the issues that women bring to us, but there are no issues that would only be for women and not for men.
Do you agree with that, Amy? Sorry, you're back in, you're back to fire up.
Yes. Sorry, I absolutely agree with that. You know, the way I see it, and I'm, my background is public health, too. I'm looking at, sometimes at just the epidemiology and the evidence of what's affecting men and women. But just because, for instance, with eating disorders, 10% of those with eating disorders are men, that's still really important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think marketing and the media that we see affect both men and women. And I think men are now being targeted even more because we've seen how much the marketing works with women. You know, mm-hmm. that the advertisers have seen that. And so I think it's something that you just have to focus your, you know, I focus most of my time on women's issues. But we certainly do outreach and discuss these issues and how they affect men.
So all the topics, or every time I hear that phrase on the news or use it here myself as, oh, that's a woman's issue. Not true.
I'd say not true. I really, you know, it's funny. I appreciate being invited, Rick, and that you wanted to talk about things that are important to women. But I guess I would just add that I hope what we're talking about is universal. Most of the issues that we deal with at the Women's Initiative, which are really related to mental health, it's not that women have more mental health issues than men. Our agency is serving primarily a female population, but many of the issues are going to be relevant to men as well.
All right, well, let's jump on an issue here.
Okay.
Let's talk about something, because what I'm hearing is that there's not a woman's issue, but there are certainly women's perspective on specific issues. So I want to jump on one that I've seen in the news recently. I think I found it on maybe on the Women's Center website, listed as a topic of conversation. Let's talk about alcohol consumption, something that to me, anyway, the problems of overindulgence in alcohol consumption have bad outcomes for both genders, but might have different perspectives on what the bad or some of the bad outcomes might be. Is that fair?
You know, it's an interesting way. I've never seen it put that way. I would say that historically, a lot of research around substance abuse in general has been related to men. And what we're finding is that there is a significant portion of the female population that also has substance abuse issues. But I think that treatment is slowly catching up to that. In the last 15, 20 years, we found that there are specific treatments that are more effective for women. For instance, women-only groups rather than co-ed groups for treatment. And I think that obviously there are some issues around family and children where we see disproportionately that women can be stigmatized in a different way for substance abuse and therefore potentially lose custody of their children and things of that sort, which is not unique because men can lose parental rights as well, but I think you see that in some of what happens.
Yeah. I would say, too, at the university, thinking about students, what we really look to is social marketing, ways to educate people about how to be healthy while they're drinking. So the Office of Health Promotion at Student Health does a campaign that shows things like, you know, 80-some percent, and I'm just making that statistic up, I don't have it with me, of students eat a meal before they go out and drink and those kinds of things so that we can help encourage protective behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece is also, you know, a lot of talk about consent, because if people are getting really drunk and then there's some sort of sexual activity, you know, are you consenting to that? And I would say those are the pieces that I interact most with around the university.
But does that make it a topic where you need to discuss some of the negative behaviors, that they have different perspectives based on gender? That if men want to talk about it, and again, if you want to talk about the, you know, whether or not you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, I think that is non-gender specific, and whether there's another
right
phrase for that, I don't know. Please educate me.
Well, right. If somebody has a diagnosis of a substance abuse disorder, then you're right. That's not genderized. There's that's a word. There, you know, both men and women would have the same criteria that they would meet.
But
for
what I'm thinking of
is,
especially here at the university, especially if you want to talk about some of the most recent negative conversations, some of the conversation, the news that happened up at the small Ohio football slash town, is that if you drink too much, that there are certain things that women need to watch out for because of the behavior in that are different from what the men need to watch out for. Is there a different perspective on excessive alcohol consumption that is different for genders?
Again, this is one of those times where I'm going to say maybe I'm speaking more for myself than for the Women's Initiative, but and I'm just one woman's perspective. I would say not really. What I would say is that there is a perception that women are more likely to be, for instance, sexually assaulted than men, and the statistics bear that out, that women are more likely, and yet men can also be overindulging and find themselves in a situation where they might not be able to consent. So I don't want to spend the whole hour doing this with you, Rick, saying, well, not really, but you're right. I mean, women, especially around college campuses, are looking at consent. They're looking at safety. Men should be doing the same. We end up seeing in the news some of these really horrific situations where women have gotten themselves in situations, and there's no excuse for somebody else perpetrating on you just because you're in that situation, but it can be a conversation around safety.
Yeah, and I would say I think that it's important to have programs for women and for men individually and then together, because I think there are issues that women might, you know, when you talk within a group of women about the experience of going